Welcome back to What's Ailing America, the ultimate in reality radio. On this show, you will not only learn what is ailing America and the world, but you will also learn how to recognize the patterns used by the predators controlling our world. The ability to overstand and see the big picture is the critical skill necessary to formulate the solutions we need to escape the living hell we find ourselves in. Regarding healthcare, this became self-evident to me in 1999 when I created the big picture of all diseases, which is the first diagram which can be found on both of my websites, reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com and drcarly.com. If you haven't yet done so, print out those diagrams and listen to the YouTube videos posted of me explaining them and learn how simple the solution to health is. Facing the reality that the psychopaths which control our world have created a hell on earth intentionally is the critical step in bringing forth an anti-hell. Overstanding the simplicity of the master template of how this hell has been created makes the antidote equally simple. All that is necessary is for people of conscience to say no to their predators, to stop loving them, forgiving them, making excuses for them, and to stop paying cash for being harmed. It is my goal to give you the truth of what I have learned to arm you with the confidence to ask the hard questions, which will not only cause the predators to run away, but will also cause those around you to face the monsters destroying their lives. You will learn from my guests that there are many of us standing up. And today's show is going to show that to you in a big way. Silence is consent. Speaking the truth and asking hard questions in great numbers is the road to anti-hell. Bypassing religious beliefs that only some man in the sky can save us is very important, as religion prevents logic, reasoning, formation of a plan to save ourselves, and then taking action. For only acting on the truth will set you free. Believing the lies or doing nothing will enslave you. Compromise with evil is impossible, and when evil is on the run, that's when we press harder. Whatever false beliefs you have about any subject, that is what is being used to control you. As Henry David Thoreau said, for every 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil, there is one striking at the root. Those with no conscience are predators. Learning to see the master template of the predators' crimes against humanity, as well as those they as well as how they use PSYOPs operatives and people's beliefs to control them, will help people of conscience to destroy the root of the evil that has created a hell on earth. If you think my work is important, please tell others about the show. My contact information is on my websites. I suggest you start with reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com. There's a chat room on OrionTalkRadio.com on my show page, and recent show archives are posted on the station site as well. Archives of shows for the past few years can be found at TheLightOfDayRadioShow.com. Click on Dr. Carly Archives. There are many ways to listen to shows here on the Orion Network, so check that out on the homepage. And please support this network by donating on the homepage, buying a T-shirt so you can walk around as an advertisement so that others learn about this station and listen to the very many important hosts and their information that are on this network. However, I am also very excited that I now have a show out of the UK on These Changing Times Radio. Time ends with a Z instead of a S. These Changing Times Radio.ning, N-I-N-G.com, every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And this site and call-in numbers for that show are also posted on my page on Sheldon Day's website, TheLightOfDayRadioShow.com. On today's show, we're not going to take any callers because I have three guests on from the UK. We won't have time for callers. And what we're going to be talking about today, our answer to the question, what's ailing America, but it's also what's ailing the world. And these guests, as well as a very important journalist by the name of Christine England, will be on the show tomorrow as well. And what we're going to talk about is the worldwide peaceful protest against child abuse, which is occurring this upcoming week, Tuesday, 6th of March, 2012, in front of the Scottish Parliament building in Edinburgh, starting at 10 a.m. And one of my guests, Sam, from One Voice for the Kids, sent out a flyer, and this is what he wrote. Something is seriously wrong. Well, isn't it? You have to know this is no accident. We are slowly being subjected to a process of being broken down as communities and society. Grampian police not investigating Holly Gregg's case fully. And our first speaker will tell you more about that case, which is going to perhaps blow your mind, perhaps not, because it's happening everywhere. The English and Scottish governments are colluding and or conspiring to cover up sexual abuse of children. The press will not give us the right information. Our governments will not serve the people. The judiciary will not serve justice, only summary justice, and the police will not protect us. When good men and women seeking justice and fairness are silenced by a system that is there to protect the people, allegedly, and that system has been abused by those in power, then it is time to have our voices heard in large numbers. Let it be known that we seek to redress the issues within the legal frameworks of this fair land and bring them into public domain in order to enlighten and educate the citizens and to seek methods by which these issues shall be corrected. Join us in this protest. If you want your children to stand up for themselves, let them see we stand up for them. To find out more about this, please visit www.onevoiceforthekids, all one word, onevoiceforthekids.org.uk. And you can also find the group on Facebook. Okay. I would first like to bring on a man I admire so much. Well, I admire all my guests. But this man, Brian Garrett, somebody had sent me some links to some YouTube videos that he's been doing in the UK. And to make a long story short, basically, he's exposing the same kinds of things I have been exposing. And this is one of the very uplifting things that I have realized is just how many people are standing up now and saying, we're not going to take it anymore. And, of course, we're not hearing about these people in the mainstream media. And so that is why I bring on guests pretty much every week to share this information with you, because once you realize how many people are actually standing up, then you might get the courage to do so yourself. So, Brian, I would like to bring you on first, and if you could just give the listeners a little introduction, any websites you may want to share, and then I would really like you to explain to the listeners this Holly Gregg case.
Okay, well, thank you all very much for inviting me on the show. Where do I start? With a little bit of background about myself?
Yes, please.
Okay, well, the main bit is that I was a Navy man from 1972 to 1993. I was a naval officer. I left the British Navy in September 1993. Got involved with business and thought that I was about to start a new life in the normal world. But what I very quickly came across was fraud and corruption in my home city, which is Plymouth in England, in the southwest of England. And I was very surprised to find this on the scale. And when I tried to do something about it with other people, we started to run into problems. But really, I began to learn what was happening in life when I tried to get a small project up to help people, young people, with skills training, trying to help these people get jobs. And out of the blue, I started to be threatened and attempts made at intimidation by people in the council. And the reason for this was that people seemed to wanted to stop the positive activities that we were trying. And we carried on going. We then began to discover some very strange things happening in the city. Groups of people who were almost trying to close down anything that was good. And as a result, we formed a small newspaper, which is now called the UK Column. And people can visit our website by going to www.ukcolumn, as in Nelson's column, column.org, www.ukcolumn.org. And once we'd formed this small community newspaper, something incredible happened, and that is the telephone started to ring and we began to be told the most incredible and horrific stories about fraud, corruption, bullying, intimidation. And then eventually we started to get the first stories talking about children being taken from families by the state. And I will say that in the beginning, I found it hard to believe some of these stories, but eventually a mother came to see me with evidence that her child was taken from her at gunpoint in America with the collusion of British social services. And when I spent a week going through her documentation, I knew that what she was telling me was true. And from that time on, and that was about 4 or 5 years ago now, I've learnt that children are being stolen from their parents on a massive scale. And it was a big boost to find other people involved who knew about this.
Okay, there's the music. Please continue after this short break. I hope you people are taking note, because this is a man who started investigating with a skeptical mind. And wait until you hear some of the most important cases that he has investigated, especially this Holly Gregg situation. Okay, we'll be back in a few minutes. Stay tuned, everybody. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is global abduction of children from families and cover up sexual abuse. And we have a worldwide peaceful protest happening on Tuesday, 6th of March, in front of the Scottish Parliament building in Edinburgh. And there's many other countries that are participating. And I am so honored to be on the show with three individuals involved in getting this set up and actually standing up and doing something for the children. So I would like to ask my guest, Brian Garish, to please continue with where he left off, as he was talking about how initially he was skeptical of some of these cases he was hearing and so investigated it himself. Take it away, Brian.
Okay, thank you for that. Well, this is a very important thing about evidence, because people always want to know about evidence. And in the early days, when cases came to me, and mothers and fathers would tell me that the state was taking their children, and I, of course, asked for evidence. And usually they were able to produce not just evidence, but too much evidence. They had so many papers, so many taped phone calls. It was very difficult to evaluate it all. And the key thing was that these were not people just telling stories. These were people who were coming with court documents. They were coming with letters. They were coming with emails. And as I say, some of them had taped phone calls. But one day I got a call from a lady called Anne Gregg. And she told me that she had an incredible story, which was about the rape and sexual abuse of her then young Down syndrome daughter. And I was immediately very interested by what she started to talk about. And I went to visit her. I eventually went to meet her. I met Anne, and I met her daughter, Holly, who by then was a young lady as opposed to a girl. And with them, I also met a man called Robert Green. And I'll just say a little bit about Robert Green. Robert was a fantastic man who had learnt about Anne and Holly, and he had taken it upon himself to try and help them. And so he was acting as a mixture of friend and private investigator. The story was that Anne had been living in Scotland in the Aberdeen area, and one day her Down syndrome daughter revealed to her that she was being sexually abused. And this was not only by members of the family, but as the tale unfolded, her daughter was revealing to her that she had been sexually abused in a very, very unpleasant way by a number of individuals, which included effectively judges, police, and even people involved with children's services. So the very people that should be protecting children had been abusing her. And Holly's recall of what had happened to her, although it took time for the story to come out and her mother had to coax her, once Holly began to talk about the story, her detail and recollection was excellent. She could talk about what was done to her. She could talk about where it was done. She could say who was present. She could name people. She could name the relationship between people. They were married or friends or partners. And the story that unfolded was that Holly had endured being raped and sexually abused over many years. And as I say, it included family members. And of course, the usual threats had been made that if she dared to speak about it, either she would be killed or her pet dog would be killed. But what was so incredible about this story was what had then taken place, because Anne, her mother, had not surprisingly started to go for help. So she went and reported the case to the police. And initially there was some response from the police because they interviewed Holly. And they also were prepared to write down, as a result of those early interviews, that Holly was regarded as a competent and trustworthy, reliable witness. Now, that was a very, very important thing because right at the beginning of the case, the police in Scotland, Grampian police, were prepared to say that Holly was a reliable witness. However, what then happened was that a lot of pressure was put on Anne, and the police did not fully investigate the people that Holly was accusing of having abused her. And Anne persisted in her fight to try and get the case properly investigated. And what then happened was really the state establishment turned against Anne. And probably the best example of this is on one occasion when there was a knock at the door of her apartment. She opened it to be faced with a policeman, somebody from the local social services, and also somebody from the a psychiatrist and some other people. I believe there was about eight of them altogether. They forced their way inside her apartment. She was very roughly pushed to the floor. Her trousers were pulled down, and she had a needle stuck in her backside. And the next thing she knew, she woke up in a psychiatric unit. Now, she was in a psychiatric unit for a little over a week. And in that time, of course, her daughter, who was very dependent on her, was absolutely distraught and terrified, and managed to extract herself, get out of the psychiatric unit. And she did something which was very, very clever. She paid to have a psychiatric assessment of herself, and that report said that there was absolutely nothing the matter with her. She was a perfectly normal, healthy, mentally healthy woman. And Anne was then able to use that in order to start again to try and get the establishment to investigate the abuse of her daughter. Not only did the police not fully investigate, the state had an attempt at really blackmailing or buying off Anne, because they offered her and Holly £13,500 as criminal injuries, as a compensation for criminal injuries sustained. But at the same time, they refused to admit that Holly's story of rape and sexual abuse was true. And this was the situation at the time that I met them. And together with Robert Green, Robert had done most of the work, but we were able to see from the documentary evidence that something was very, very wrong. It wasn't just a case of what Holly could recall herself, because there was other documentation, some of which I still can't talk about on air, but there was other documentation and, in fact, medical evidence which supported the view that Holly had sustained sexual abuse. Robert Green then carried on investigating the case, and we also published the case in the UK Column newspaper, and we were quite forthright. We talked about the story, and we talked about what had happened in the Scottish establishment, and that produced an amazing response, because the then head of all matters to do with the law in Scotland, the title is Procurator Fiscal, was a lady called Eilish Angelini. And we now know that she basically commissioned a firm of solicitors in Scotland, well, a very, very powerful law firm, and they very quickly sent out injunctions to a lot of people trying to shut them up and to stop anybody publishing anything to do with the case. We know from documents that were obtained later that it was Eilish Angelini who helped commission this action, but at the time it was not clear whether she paid for it with private money or public money. So the Holly Gregg case exploded into the alternative media in UK, but it was very, very significant that despite all of the evidence that was held and the massive support and outrage by people, not one single part of it appeared in the mainstream media. The BBC in particular was had a double standard, because at one point they said they would help expose what had happened to Holly, and then, having obviously found out more about the case, at the very last moment they pulled an investigative documentary. And when Anne Gregg challenged the BBC team, they simply said that they'd been told that they could not do the case. So it wasn't a question that there wasn't evidence. They were actually pulled off the case deliberately.
And if I could just interject here, Brian, because this is very important. The exact same thing was done here in the States when a documentary called Conspiracy of Silence was done about the pedophiles in Washington, D.C., in a case called the Franklin cover-up. And it was all ready to be put on the air, and they did the exact same thing. It was pulled at the last minute. All copies but one were destroyed, and that is on my drcarly.com website. People can watch it. So it's the same pattern and practice everywhere, but please go ahead.
Well, the point you've made is very important, and I will also return to that, because we now know that the template, there's a pattern to these attacks on families and stealing of children, and it is international. What we see in the United Kingdom is also happening in Ireland, it's happening in Norway and Sweden, and it's happening in America. But if I just complete the story as quickly as I can. Basically, once the story had broken in the media, we all worked extremely hard to get more evidence out. And Robert Green started to campaign in Scotland for the Scottish establishment and the paedophiles to be exposed. And he eventually decided that he was going to go to Scotland. And because our elections for our national elections were coming up, he decided he was going to stand as a candidate to be a member of Parliament. And his plan was to go up to Aberdeen, the area in Scotland, and to campaign on the sole topic of Anne and Holly. When he got up to Scotland, he had not done anything. He had not handed out any leaflets. He was simply walking along a road when all of a sudden he was stopped and arrested by police. He was taken back into a police station in Scotland, and they started to ask him questions about what he was doing. But at one point they asked him what seemed to be a very strange question. They suddenly asked him what he was doing at a particular time the day before. And he said to the police, "Well, I was on a train." Now, the reason this was so significant is the Scottish legal establishment had attempted to serve what is best known as an injunction. It's called an interdict in Scotland, but basically they had tried to say that he couldn't come to Scotland and he couldn't do certain things. But that document was never served on Robert because he was on the train. And so the day he was walking on the streets of Aberdeen, he was completely within his rights to do so. What the police then did is they served the interdict on him while he was in custody. So basically, with hindsight, they then served the interdict and then they followed through as if he had been served that document properly. And the net result was that he was let out on bail, where he had to report to a police station three times a week. But at the same time, just before he was let out, the Scottish police raided his house, and they stole key evidence for the Holly Greg case. They also stole evidence which later could be used in Robert's defence. What then happened was that over approximately 18 months, nearly 2 years, the Scottish establishment, and we're talking senior members of the Scottish government together with the judiciary in Scotland, spent over £500,000 attempting to silence Robert and stop him talking about the case. He refused to do so, and I've lost track of the time now, it would have been about 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, he was found guilty of breach of the peace, and that, of course, was for something he hadn't committed a crime, because when he was in Aberdeen, he had not been served this interdict. But he was also charged with breaking his bail conditions. And so this very brave man who had attempted to get the truth out about the rape and sexual abuse and gang rape of a Down syndrome girl was then found guilty of false charges, and he has been sent to prison for 1 year. Now, what is very significant is that at the same time that Robert was appearing in court, another man in Scotland was found to be in possession of 50,000 pornographic images of children, and he was simply sentenced to community service. He did not get a prison service. So we had this phenomenal contradiction that the man who'd stood up for truth and honesty and tried to expose what was a terrible abuse of a Down syndrome girl received a prison sentence. Meanwhile, somebody who was clearly a paedophile was not given a prison sentence. The other thing that I should just give you this last point, and that is that whilst Robert was still investigating what had been happening to Anne and Holly, Anne's house was raided by police. It was ransacked, and information was taken out of that house. And from the time of that raid onwards, Shropshire County Council, which is what we call the local authority, Anne was living in that local authority area, they started proceedings which are clearly designed to take Holly away from her mother.
Well, I have two things to ask. First of all, what does that mean, breach of the peace, to begin with? I mean, I don't understand. Obviously, it's a total fraud. But what is their explanation as to how he breached the peace, since you said he was not even served with this document before he got on the train to begin with?
Okay, well, breach of the peace is a very simple offence. If you started a fight on a street, or you were drunk on a street and you caused the peace of people's lives to be disrupted or broken, that would be deemed a breach of the peace. Usually, it's a very minor offence. Perhaps there's a group of youths who have a fight, or perhaps somebody damages a car. that would be the sort of level of crime that would usually be called breach of the peace. But at the time the police stopped Robert Green and they then charged him, he had committed no breach of the peace because he had done nothing more than walk along a street in Aberdeen one morning.
But obviously their idea of the breach of the peace was that he was going to expose to the populace what their high-level officials were up to. And yes, in fact, I think that that would breach their peace because they are very interested in covering this up. The other thing I want to say, because I had heard that they're trying to take Holly away from her mom, and this goes right along with what happened once again in the Franklin cover-up. What happened in that situation is a number of the child victims testified in court as to what had been done to them, or perhaps it was before a grand jury, actually. I don't think it even got to the court. But they ended up being charged with perjury, and one of the young women got a sentence of 28 years, whereas the man who was behind the whole thing was never even charged with procuring children for high-level government officials or anything. He went to jail for a short time because he'd embezzled hundreds of thousands of dollars from this financial establishment he was in charge of, but no charges ever occurred against him for, you know, arranging the pedophilia of children. So that's what I'm afraid of, is they're setting up a situation where they will be able to arrest Holly and charge her with perjury, or perhaps put her in a psych ward or whatever the case may be. And of course, even though I know she's a young woman now, having Down syndrome, as you stated, she's very dependent on her mom. So I think it's critical that all of you are bringing attention to this most heinous case at this time. And I just wish I could be a fly on the wall when this protest occurs, and as I'm doing everything I can to promote it. This has to stop. And this is also very similar to another case that occurred in Belgium back in the 1990s, where the same type of individual, Marc Dutroux, was a pedophile who was sexually abusing children and murdering them, and nothing was done. And as it came out, eventually turned out his defense was going to be, or he was going to reveal during his trial, that he was procuring young children for high-level government officials. And it took, I believe it was 400,000 of the Belgian people going to the streets in what they called a white march, carrying white balloons and hosing down the courts with fire hoses and a symbolic act of cleansing. And eventually heads did start to roll, and a number of the people involved in the cover-up committed suicide and such. But this is what we need to see, in my opinion. We need to see the people rise up and say they're not going to tolerate this. And that's why I admire all of you so much for what you're doing.
Well, Dr. Carly, you're absolutely right. And it's something I would like to stress for the audience there in America, that all of my research, and I can assure people I only deal in evidence and facts, but everything that I'm digging into shows me that we are looking at paedophile rings which are not just in the higher levels of government. I now believe that it is the higher levels of government that are actually running the paedophile rings through the public organizations which we think are there to protect families, and in particular to protect children. But if exactly. If I just come back to Holly, because you picked up a very good point, the way that they are now trying to attack Anne and Holly Gregg is that they, a few months ago, about 3 months ago, a judge in England ruled in a court, and of course this is a secret court because there was no press and no jury, she ruled that Holly was not competent. Now, that, of course, was completely at odds with the findings of the police. And what it meant was that from the moment the judge had made that ruling that Holly was not competent, it was bringing into doubt her ability to be a reliable witness. In London yesterday at the High Court, that judgment was challenged. and we watched as three High Court judges left the court for about 5 minutes. They returned to give a 40-minute judgment. So in my opinion, the judgment had been pre-prepared. And basically...
Yes, well, okay, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Brian. I hear the music. We're going to another... And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is global abduction of children from families and cover-up of sexual abuse, which is a situation very close to my heart because my son has been undergoing satanic ritual abuse for over a decade now because of what I do. And if people don't care about this, then they're dead, in my opinion. And I just have to say... for any of you new listeners, if you want to check out the situation here in the States, excellent website, franklinscandal.com. Nick Bryant is to that situation what Brian Garish is to the Holly Gregg situation. Learn about what your government's up to as well. And I just have to say, Brian, you know, this is so sick on so many levels. If they're going to say that Holly is not competent, then she needs her mom. But like you said, she was already found competent, so that whole evaluation is a fraud. But please do continue to tell us what this 40-minute speech involved, where these three corrupt judges were going to basically, you know, carry on with their plan.
Okay, well, I can do this very quickly because all they really said is that the previous judgment that Holly was not competent was to stand. And that means that Holly now has a state lawyer allocated to her. So she doesn't want the lawyer, her mum doesn't want the lawyer, but now the state has said, because you're not competent, we are going to have a lawyer to represent you. So in my opinion, that is the first part of a wedge being driven between Anne and her daughter Holly. And then the next part of it is, that because they have deemed that Holly is not competent, the next court session will be again be in a closed secret court, a court of protection, where there will be no jury and no press. And they are already now starting to ask for psychiatric assessments of both Holly and Anne. And I can tell listeners from all of the cases that I have dealt with and the many hundreds of other cases that other people are trying to help in UK, once the psychiatrists get involved, they simply write reports in which they lie in order to achieve the aims of the state. And if you ask why they will lie, it is simply because it is the state who will pay them. So what we see happening now is that they will try and drag Anne and Holly, well, they will take Anne and Holly back into court, and now Anne as a mother is caught in a trap, because if she continues to try and campaign for justice for her daughter, the state says your action is actually harming your daughter, and therefore we the state need to protect her from you. And if Anne does nothing, then, of course, the state carries on and puts the psychiatrists and the lawyers in place so that she can't move with her daughter anyway. This is we have seen this happen in so many other cases, but the speed at which the British state is doing it in this case is absolutely incredible. And there is only one reason, and that is that Holly is the evidence to expose very high-level paedophile rings in Scotland, which involve senior politicians, judges, police, people in social services, and even people from the medical world. So this is one of the things that I'm constantly trying to tell audiences in UK, that the government would have us believe that paedophiles are simply men, probably on very low incomes, ordinary men on the streets, when the fact is that the worst of the paedophile rings are being run by people with a lot of money in positions of major political power and influence. And we are not talking about one child or 10 children or 100 children. We know that 800 children a month are being taken from their parents by the state. And we also know that around about 30,000 children disappear every year in Britain, 30,000. And when you say what's being done about this, who's investigating, you are met with a wall of silence. It's when you first get into it, it's unbelievable. But then you see the evidence and you realize it's true.
Yes, and I would just like to add to that, the number here in the States of children that go missing, according to the Department of Justice, is 800,000 children. And in fact, it has been proven by Nick Bryant in his investigation of the Franklin cover-up that, in fact, what the FBI and the CIA are actually doing is protecting the high-level pedophiles. And this pattern and practice, as you said, Brian, it's like a master plan. They do it all the time. They did the same thing to me when they charged me with having a delusion of conspiracy to take my medical license away, although I had 10 evaluations from psychiatrists and psychologists that I was fine despite what had happened to my son. They brought in their whore for the court, and this psychiatrist found that I had a delusion of conspiracy, and they thought that would destroy me by taking away my medical license and wanting me to undergo psychiatric treatment, which is, of course, what they're going to try to do to Holly and Anne, to give them a chemical lobotomy by forcing them to take very dangerous psychiatric drugs. And I just want to mention a very important book to the audience, Horrors of the Court, The Fraud of Psychiatric Testimony and the Rape of American Justice. The author is Margaret A. Hagen, H-A-G-E-N, Ph.D. Another very important book in my gigantic library is called The Second Rape, Society's Continued Betrayal of the Victim. And the authors of that book are Lee Madigan, M-A-D-I-G-A-N, and Nancy Gamble. And so this is the pattern in practice. This is what's going on, and this is why the people have to get involved. You know, what's really sad, Brian, is that a lot of people say to themselves, well, you know, obviously these people are being given a problem if they speak out. Look what happened to Robert Greene. And so, therefore, we're just going to keep to ourselves and play the game and hope that nothing happens to us. And if that's the world that people want, as all these children are being tortured and gone missing and destroying of the family. I mean, it's not just the child that's destroyed, it's the family. Taking a child away from the family, there's nothing worse that you can do to a child or to the parents who have suffered such a terrible trauma as to realize that something like this has happened.
Well, those are extremely good points, because when you discuss this subject, a lot of people can get quite frightened with it. So we've got a problem here. We know that something terrible is happening, but when we try and explain it to people, some people are frightened and therefore they say, oh, I can't do anything. Now, I've got two responses to this, and one is the hard one and one is the positive one. The hard one is the fact that children are our future. If we do not protect our own children, we do not have any future. And the children won't have any future because their life is going to be a life of absolute abuse by the state. And I can tell listeners that this is happening unbelievably quickly in Britain. Do not believe a word that the BBC says. Britain is rapidly approaching a police state. It's absolutely incredible. And in that police state, they want to absolutely break apart families, because if you break up families, you weaken the instead of having a team in the family, you have individuals who are much weaker. And of course, the children are most vulnerable of all. So I say to people, you cannot sit on the fence on this subject. Once you know what's happening to the children and you can investigate it yourselves, you have to do something. But what you can do is what you feel comfortable with. Some people can speak to hundreds or thousands of people. Some people can go into court. Some people can challenge the police. Even if you can just write one letter to your senator and complain and demand that they do something, that's worthwhile. If we have 10 million people writing letters, that makes a difference. But the other thing that's happening in UK, and I know it's happening in the States as well, and that is we are now getting more and more whistleblowers, more and more people in the establishment, and particularly the police, who are starting to come out and tell what they know. And yes. I can say that, I'll just give you this point, if I may, that at the beginning of November, I attended a meeting in Parliament. It was in one of the committee rooms in Westminster in London. There were MPs present. There were about 30 other people. And in that room, not only did a small team of police officers talk about a case of ritual abuse, which they had recently broken up, but a retired police officer talked about doing a study through all the police areas, 43 police areas in England and Wales, and to look at the extent of child abuse and the paedophile rings. And that retired police officer told the company in Parliament that when he and his colleague finished the report, it was obvious there was a massive problem with paedophile rings. He was asked what happened to his report, and he said it was locked in a safe.
Okay, there's the music again. This is about a five-minute break, so if any of you want to get a drink of water, whatever, we'll have you close out when we come back, Brian, and then we'll bring on our other two guests. I so appreciate this excellent review you have given us, and I'm sure there's a lot of people with their mouths hanging open right now. We'll be right back, folks.
Orion News Talk exists because the corporate news media has failed us miserably.
Our media has been controlled for decades.
In 1917, J.P. Morgan bought up or infiltrated the top 20.